I'm jumping back into our rainy season series, and how appropriate that it has been raining for the last number of hours. I've been up, I think, for all of them. I'm still dealing with jet lag, and so I did my very best to stay up till 11 o'clock last night so I could sleep all the way until my alarm this morning, and from 11 to 3 a.m., that's all it was, 3 a.m., it was wide awake. And so I'm completely off, off schedule and feel a little off kilter, and hopefully I will make good sense today. But we need spiritual rain. We need showers of blessing and of strength. And while I was almost 8,000 miles from home the last several days, I have been praying for you and praying for our church and praying about the days ahead. And I'm fascinated by rain. I was fascinated with the weather in the Philippines last Sunday when I was ministering. It was about 99 degrees and 100% humidity. The Philippines is very close to the equator, and so their UV index is literally 11 or 12. It's very, very, very hot. And so when I looked at the weather this morning and saw that it was not going to get above 56 degrees today, it's just amazing the difference in just a few days, in a week. But very, very little rain there. It comes in seasons. But rain is fascinating. It's best when you're at home, safe and secure, and you can hear the rain falling. Shout out to everyone who is at home today hearing the rain falling. That's when you don't have anywhere to be. You don't have to be out in it. You don't have to be ducking and trying to, just hold your keys up over your head, hoping that's going to block the rain somehow. You don't have umbrellas and all of that kind of stuff. And, you're out in it, and sometimes it's a little frustrating. I've gotten comfortable in the rain. In my house, we've been living there about 4 years, and the way the house sits and the way the winds come through in between houses around us, it is very, very loud sometimes when the storm is strong. And when we first moved in, I was checking every window and I was going and looking because it sounded like a freight train was coming in between our house and the neighbor's house, and I was always concerned that it was a tornado or something. I've relaxed. I've gotten comfortable. I can sit on the couch now and hear the rain and not be concerned about the ominous sound. But it's hard sometimes to relax in the rain. Metro Atlanta gets about 74, 75, sometimes 76 inches of rain annually. I remember when we first moved here, PK would say, "Man, it rains so much here. I cannot believe how much it rains here." And she said that so much, and I was thinking, it's not any different than, where we came from in Houston. No, it's much, much more rain, so much more. And so I finally start Googling average rainfall in Atlanta, learn it's 75, 76 inches a year. Google average rainfall in Houston, guess what? 75, 76 inches a year. It's all a matter of perspective. Rain, when you think about it in terms of inches, when you think about it in terms of how much it rains, I had to figure out what is the wettest place on earth. Where does it rain the most? And currently, the wettest place on earth is a town, a village in India. Ma Sinram. I know I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. I think there's a pic Malsinram. This is the village in India. And then just a few miles, just 15 kilometers from Malsinram is Cherrapunji. They're 15 kilometers apart, about 9 miles from one another. Malsinram, India, gets an annual rainfall of 467 inches. Again, Atlanta, it's raining today, 74, 75, maybe 76 inches of rain a year. If we have a heavy, heavy rain season, we may tick up to around 80 inches of rain. Can you imagine 467 inches of rain in 1 year? And then Cherrapunji is just 4 inches average behind Malsinram. Cherrapunji gets an annual rainfall of 463 inches per year. And what's interesting about this is that most of this rain falls between June and September. That's the monsoon season. In 1861, Cherrapunji holds the Guinness Book of World Record. They received in 1 year 1,042.2 inches of rain in 1 year. 399 of those inches of rain happened in the month of July alone. 399 inches of rain in one single month. Ironically, what's fascinating about these two villages, Malsinram and Cherrapunji, in spite of all the rain that they get, in spite of how much precipitation and how much water and all around them is constant rain, they suffer the same crisis. They suffer the same challenging circumstance. In spite of receiving 467 plus inches of rain per year, the people in these two villages are dying of thirst. It doesn't make sense. It really makes no sense. It seems impossible. They have an abundance of water. They have an abundance of resource. One might say they are drowning in water. The problem is they have not learned how to make the water work for them. They have not learned to retain the water and put it to work to make it bless their lives. They are soaking wet, but still thirsty. Soaking wet, but still thirsty. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to have an abundance of what you need to survive, but be unable to retain the blessing. To be unable to secure any of the blessing. Is it a knowledge thing? Is it a technology thing? Is it a small engine thing? I don't know what all the issues are. I know there's all kind of ecological and even reasoning as to why they explain so much rain removes the top soil layer, and so their community is not retaining this rain, but these people, they're not figuring out what they need to figure it out. It makes me think of people who have an abundance of opportunity, an abundance of blessing. They have God everywhere. They are drowning in strength, but they are swimming in goodness, but they cannot get it together. Just can't retain enough to make it work for them. They are drowning in strength, but they are still struggling. I say it often, but I'll say it again. This only works if you work it. This only blesses you if you allow it to bless you. This only makes a difference in your life if you allow a difference to be made in your life. Because here's what I've learned. Here's what I've learned in life. No one drives us to work. No one makes us study to get the grade. No one demands that we get healthy. No one lifts our hands for us. No one drags us to an altar. No, if you want something in life, you've got to work for it. You've got to get after it. You've got to put some things together. You've got to set some parameters and establish some disciplines in your life to say, wait a minute, this is what I want from this experience. This is what I need from this event. I need to make this work for me. Otherwise, I am soaking wet, but still thirsty. I'm drowning in resource, but I'm not allowing the resource to work for me. I'm not gathering enough of it for it to make a difference in my life. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be my story. I don't think you want that to be your story. I don't want to be in the presence of God, but never get his presence inside of me. And I don't want to feel what we were feeling in the first part of this service. I mean, just palpable presence of God, amazing, incredible, but walk out of here and say, well, that was nice, but I still don't have my needs met. That was great. That was wonderful. I love that song they did, but I'm still bitter. I'm still angry. I'm still offended. I'm still wounded. I'm still confused. No, if I'm going to be in the presence of God, then let me get this inside of me so that it's not just water falling on my skin. It's not just drops that I'm feeling happening in my life, but something is getting in me, and it is nourishing me, and it is sustaining me, and it is quenching the thirst that I have in my soul. I don't want to hear people worshiping around me, but never worship myself. I mean, worship for myself. I don't want to just experience others being blessed and me never get blessed too. I can't quench my thirst by watching you drink. Does that make sense? I can't get satisfied watching you get blessed. That's great and that's good and I love you. And so I love seeing you get blessed, but here I am with needs in my own life. And so watching you only takes me so far. This voyeuristic kind of blessing, just watching it happen in your life, it only does so much for me. At some point, I've got to receive him for myself. I've got to experience him for myself. Something has to happen in my life that changes me and moves me and stirs me and lifts me and changes my life. That's what I need. When you're in a nation like a country like the Philippines, you're careful what you're drinking. I've done this enough around the world. I've never gotten sick on any of my foreign travels, and God willing, I'm going to keep my record intact, but I do not drink their water. That's the key. You don't drink their water. It's not that they have bad water. I don't know the condition of their water. It's just not the water that my body is used to. So you don't drink their water. We would sit at the table, maybe at a restaurant or a meal, and the other Americans, they would be digging into salad. Hey, Daryl, you don't want any salad? No. Nope. You don't like salad? What's the deal? No. Lettuce is 90% water. And if that lettuce was grown in this country, no offense to this country, but it's 90% their water. And if I drink it, if I eat it, it's going to get me sick. I'm bottled water. Everywhere is bottled water. If I was in a hotel, if I was in a restaurant, you're going to learn the word for filter. Is this filter? Is this purificado? Has this been purified? And you get in some places and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, because they want you to buy whatever they have. And you look around and when you get them little tingles, you just realize, no, God is trying to help me. This is not the place. This is not the spot. No, keep moving. And there were some of the people on the team that got sick. Daryl never got sick. because I didn't drink their water, but I was constantly looking for a bottled water, constantly looking for something that had been filtered, something that would quench, something that would satisfy, because it's a lesson. It's a lesson in life. It's a spiritual lesson. You can't drink from just any well. You can't expect to be nourished from just any source. You got to make sure you're drinking from the right well. You got to make sure that you are drinking from the right source. You got to make sure that you're getting something that is quality and something that is going to bless your life. That's why Jesus said in John 7:37, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." If you're thirsty, I have something that will quench your thirst. If you have a need in your life, I have something that will meet the need. If you have struggle in your life, I have something that will make the difference in your life. It's not in man, ladies and gentlemen, it's in Jesus. It's not in so many of the things that we are putting our confidence in and putting our hope in. It is in Jesus. That's why I want to keep lifting Jesus high every Sunday at the Church Covington. I want to keep lifting Jesus high every day that we have an opportunity to keep pointing people to Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. Do you believe that today? I love John 4 because Jesus meets this woman at a well. She was thirsty. That's the reason they struck up conversation, was because of thirst. This woman is thirsty. She was there with all of her pots, there with all of her buckets and vessels, filling them up because there were people in her house who were thirsty. And I know she had her ideas about how to quench her thirst, but obviously those things had not been working for her. You'll learn later in the service, later in the story, that she had 5 husbands and she had a past that was trailing her. She's trying to quench her thirst in so many other people and so many other relationships and so many ideas, and none of that is satisfying her. But I love what John 4:4 said. Jesus had to go through Samaria. They were on another road. They were on another path. The disciples said, "Lord, we need to go this way." And Jesus said, "Y'all go ahead. You get some food. You get some supplies. I need to go through Samaria because there is a conversation I need to have." Let me ask you, did Jesus have to go out of his way to have a conversation with you? He did for me. You may share that testimony. Jesus had to go out of his way. He may have been on another path, but he saw you looking his direction. He saw you crying out within yourself, "I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't even know. I'm so tired of this. I'm so sick of this. I'm so frustrated. I'm so tired of being confused." Jesus hears that and decides, "You know what? I'm going through Samaria so that I can make a difference in someone's life." John 4:7, while he's at that well, the Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Seems cruel to ask a thirsty person for a drink. It's like asking a beggar for money. It's reversed. "Wait a minute, dude, don't you see me here with all these pots? I'm here because I'm thirsty, and you're asking me if I can quench your thirst. You're asking me if I can satisfy your longing for water." But hear me today. Jesus will often use the thing you think you need to lead you to what he knows you need. You might need to write that down. Take a picture of the screen and just wrestle with that this week a little bit in your own devotion time. Jesus will often use the thing you think you need to lead you to what he knows you need. And she asked him in verse 9, "How can you ask me for a drink? Wait, I'm the one who's thirsty. It's me whose life is in a mess." At some point, Jesus wants you to realize that what you've been doing is not working. He's asking her, let's get to the bottom line, lady. Is this water satisfying you? No, you keep having to come back here every single day because what you draw today is not quenching you all the way through. You've got to come back and get more, and you've got to get more, and you've got to get more. And that's what the world does. Sin is only seasonal. It only lasts for just a few days. It only lasts for a few moments, and then you're looking for another fix. But Jesus is saying, I have something for you. I have something that can make the difference in your life. What you've been drinking is not satisfying. The way you've been living is not productive to your peace. And so Jesus answers her in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew who you were talking to, tell someone, I just didn't know. I just didn't know. I just thought you were another man. I just thought you were another relationship. I just thought you were someone else trying to get something from me. I've got so many people pulling on me. I've got so many people making demands of me and so many people wanting something from me. I didn't realize that you were different. It took me a minute. It took me a minute to focus in. Sometimes when we feel like we're being pulled in every direction and then you get in the presence of the Lord, you say, wait a minute, this is different. That's why that person could tell me a couple of weeks ago, I've never felt anything like this before. In other words, I've been feeling a lot of stuff. I've been pulled in a lot of directions, but I've never experienced this before. That's who Jesus is. He is something you've never experienced. He's something you've never felt. He's something that's never happened to you before, and you need to lean into what he has for you. I didn't realize my answer was this close. I had no idea how good this could be. Jesus said, if you knew, guess what? Now you know. Now you know. God is here to help you. God is here to break through for you. God is here to bless you. God is here to make the difference in your life. Look at verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water. Talking about the well. Anybody that drinks that water is going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Because everyone that keeps drinking from man keeps drinking just that temporary satisfaction, that temporary benefit, that temporary drink, it just does not satisfy. They're soaking wet, but still thirsty. But whoever drinks my water, Jesus says, whoever drinks this that I am offering, this that I am giving, will never thirst again. I don't know about you today, but I've had enough of the world's water. I've had enough of what the world can give. I've had enough of what the world says is the answer, is the be-all and end-all. No, it is not satisfying. Maybe you've been there and tried everything there is to try, and that's why you're here today. You know that there are no answers in that. There is no benefit in that. There is no breakthrough and no blessing in that. And so get me in the presence of the Lord where he can make a difference in my life, and he can change my life, and he can heal, and he can help me. Whoever drinks my water will never thirst again. Because once I got in the presence of the Lord, once I found his church and I found his people, I'm feeling better every day. I'm getting stronger every week. I'm being renewed and my mind is being healed and helped. I don't know about you, but this is my new favorite drink. Nothing like this. It's the presence of God. The woman said to him in verse 15, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I have to keep coming here to draw water. You see, the problem with all the stuff I've been trying, it never lasts. I keep having to get more and more and more. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you keep experiencing things that do not last. The highs are temporary. The happiness is fleeting. The joy is it's not even joy. It's what everybody tells me is joy, but it's only surface deep. I smile for a minute, but I'm not smiling on the inside because there is nothing quenching my thirst. There's nothing settling the longing of my soul. Maybe that's where you are, and you've been running from idea to idea and from gimmick to gimmick. But hear me, you need Jesus today. You need what Jesus is offering you today. That's not me preaching at you. That's me testifying to you that I used to be where you are. I tried all that and none of it worked. But when I came into the presence of the Lord, I found something that satisfies the longing of my soul. I found something that makes the difference in my life. And she says, give me this water. I want this. I need this. This is what I'm looking for in my life. This is what I'm wanting in my life. Can I tell you that what you're looking for today is it's within your reach? It's within your reach. I can't imagine having 467 inches of rain but dying of thirst. I can't imagine having so much water around me but still being thirsty. I can't imagine having access to the strength and the healing and the blessing of God and still living unsatisfied. That doesn't compute to me. It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't work for me. And you know what? That doesn't have to be your story. You don't have to be soaking wet and still thirsty. You can get a drink that'll be lasting in your life. Water deficiency is interesting. They say if you are 1% deficient in water, that's when you're thirsty. You just say, you know what, I need something to drink. Thirsty. It's 1% deficiency. When you reach 5% deficiency, you can start running a slight fever. When you reach 8% deficiency, your glands stop producing saliva. All of a sudden, your mouth is dry. It's not feeling normal. It's not right. At 10% deficiency, you lose the ability to walk. I'm not talking about 90% deficient. I'm talking about 10% deficient in water. You lose the ability to walk. And at 12% deficiency, it's sudden death. Just 12%? How is that possible? Now think of that spiritually. If I'm 1% deficient in spiritual things, maybe I get cranky. Maybe I start looking at people funny. If I get up there in that 8% range and it's affecting my walk at 10%, 12%, man, I need a drink. I need the presence of God. But that's what's amazing about this Cherrapunji, India. There's only about 12,000 people that are able to live there that have found some kind of way to survive and to make it. They carry a bucket every day. They get just enough water in that bucket for one meal, maybe a bath. They're walking in the rain, but they are dying of thirst. And survival for them is it's a series of little trips and little buckets of water. Getting home with just enough to survive another day. I close today to talk to somebody in this room who's been living on too little for too long. You've been living just palm fulls of spiritual help and breakthrough, and just, I got a bucket, I got just enough, and I think I can get through one more crisis, and I think I can get through one more bad day, and I think I can overcome one more bad mood, and I think I can get, I think there's enough in my bucket just to survive one more day. But why would you be focused only on surviving when you got enough around you to thrive, to live in abundance? Because God never intended you to barely make it. He didn't intend for you to just barely be happy. Didn't intend for you to just barely smile. He intended for you to live. But in order to live, sometimes you've got to be as persistent as Noel told us today. You've got to keep checking the email. She knows somebody I don't know, because I couldn't get my kids into the STEM Academy. Might better have her pray for you today. Pastor's struggling. Show us your glory, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this room today. I'm talking to people that are thirsty. People that need to quench their thirst. When you really get thirsty, when you really get thirsty, I know a cold Coke, I know an ice cold Dr. Pepper, man, something about it is soothing. But when you really get thirsty, I'm talking about when your lips are dry and you're parched, man, bring me some cold water. When I get done preaching today, I'm gonna down 2 or 3 bottles of water, because I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty right now. And if you recognize and if you realize that you're thirsty today, why would you leave this room without getting your thirst quenched? Who can do that? What can do that? It's the presence of the Lord. It's allowing Jesus to work in your life. It's a conversation. A lot like that woman had with him beside that well. They argued almost. She was trying to say, no, I've tried all that. I've done this, I've done that, I've been everywhere. I've done everything. And Jesus is saying, no, you haven't, because you haven't tried me. And when you try me, you're gonna find out that I am enough. I am enough to bless your life. Jesus is enough. He's enough. He's enough for you right now. He's enough for you. Pastor Darrell, what do I need to do? I want you to pray with me today. I want you to talk to God today. You may not pray as loud as I do. You may not sound as strong as I sound up here with this microphone. You can cry out to God in a whisper today. Your thoughts can pray today. What do I say? Something like this: Jesus, I'm tired of drinking all of the stuff that does not satisfy. I'm ready to receive what you have for me. I accept your gift of grace. I repent of my sin. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But today everything changes in my life because of you. Today a difference is made. And you, Lord, are that difference. I receive your promise. I receive your gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.